Father, we give you all the praise. And we give you all the thanks for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to get into our study this morning. And like I said, we're going to exhaust a very important conversation. And I trust very much we're going to be blessed. And like we have always done for the past weeks, we're going to be looking at faith for all seasons. Faith for all seasons. And again, we're going to be having some conversations as a church. And we'll take up from where we left off. And then we'll pay attention to some very key things. Now, last week, I remember that we started having a conversation on, you know, just trying to look at the posture of faith. And this is how I'm going to be talking to you, so pay attention, right? Okay, don't leave me. The work we have to do today, I'm not going to go back to the previous conversations that we had, but I'm going to take it from a place that I already started, and then we'll continue from there. We looked at faith for all seasons. Our emphasis scripturally was taken from Mark chapter 11 verse 23. And in Mark chapter 11 verse 23, we find out that Jesus is making a very important statement. Have faith in God. But then we did a study on that conversation. We saw that the background for that study, or for that emphasis that Jesus gave his disciples, was based on the happening of the fig tree and of the temple. We took some time also laying out some emphasis, seeing how truth is established on certain witnesses. And we said, it's two or three witnesses. In the presence of two or three witnesses, we saw that from Deuteronomy. We also saw that from the Gospels. We saw that from Paul's account. That's how truth is established, right? So, in our conversation of faith, what we sought to do was to understand clearly these witnesses and the light they brought to the subject matter. And we said the witnesses there was the law, the prophets, the gospels, and then the epistles, right? So we took some time trying to establish some key truth based on these witnesses. We also used or saw verily, which is a word, aman, which means faithful. And we went back to Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 2, looked at different incidences. Genesis also, we saw Abraham, right? And how that Abraham became that example of what? Of faith. So he is the father of what? Faith. So if we were going to pay attention to Abraham's actions, we were going to see how that those actions portrayed faith. And we said, where is faith, or in what is his faith found? We said his faith was found in the faithfulness of God. So we took some time establishing, of course, Genesis 15, took some time establishing that faith firsthand and walking in faith is getting to understand that God is what? Faithful. So we're not going to be so particular about whether we feel anointed or we feel like we've lived a good life enough or we have prayed for 36 hours. No. We put our faith, or we have faith, because he is faithful, right? And if he is faithful, it means that he's going to stick with his word. He's going to do what he says he will do. So the conversation of faith is not as much as how powerful you are. It's how much more you can abandon yourself in the hands of God to cater for you and for everything that you want him to do. So, you know, many times you find people, you know, they believe that faith is some kind of mental exercise that you need to really do. You know, you need to really strain or stress to exercise your faith in God. No. I told us that that's quite an erroneous teaching, because it doesn't help us so much. Because already we know we are inadequate. Already we know we are frail. Already we know we are weak. But at least we can put our trust in a God that is not frail, in a God that is not weak, and in a God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, and we can trust that he will say what he will do. So our faith is going to be in the faithfulness of who? God. So we did some good emphasis on that, and that is what we have been talking about. Now, last week, taking some time to do this because it will help us just all move along very smoothly, we started looking at the posture of faith. What does faith look like? When we see somebody who is walking in faith, how are we able to tell this person is walking in faith? What are going to be the characteristics of a person who is full of faith, right? I remember some time back, I shared a story because it makes a lot of meaning to me and it was so real before my eyes. Somebody spoke to me about something, and the person was like, you know, this one, God really has to show up. And I knew God was going to show up. But the question is, would he be able to believe that God will show up . Would you have that belief that he's going to show up? Now, I also took some time pointing us to something that we should take heed of ourselves so we can have full assurance in God. And one of them is to learn to keep our words, right? So if we say that, or the reasons why many people will not trust God enough is because they think God is like them, right? You call somebody from, you're at Kaswa, and they ask you, where are you? So, right now I'm just at Ashaman. I just took that Ashaman cave. But you are all the way at Kaswa. So when you now see a God who says, I will stick to my word, you're like, what if this God is at Kaswa
But he's also telling me he's at a shaman. So if we are not able to be true, it's going to have more like an effect on how we relate with God, because we don't tell the truth. Sometimes you just lie for free. And you know, when you lie, you need 10 or 12 other lies to cover up the one lie. So before you realize, you've become a chronic liar, because you need several lies heaped up to cover that one lie. Then now repenting becomes very difficult, because the kind of lies you have told all through. So when we now say, God is not the son of man that he should lie, nor should he repent, you say, what are you talking about? I lie for a living. You know, I lie for a living. So when you are not true to your word, it affects the way that you see God. And it affects the way you even read the Bible. Because, you know, some way somehow is imprinted that, what if there's a lie in this thing? You know, it takes a thief to know a thief, you know that. Like when you enter the room and you survey, a thief will say, this one not one of my party with that. Because it takes one to know one. So that was just by the way. We have not gotten into our conversation yet. But then, just trying to get us in. So we try to look at all of these things so that our faith in the faithfulness of God is going to be strong. If God says you are healed, by his stripes you are healed. Right? Peter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. And he tells us how that he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. You know, wounded for our transgression. Then you are now sick. But then he's saying you are healed. But then you also are sick. So who are you going to believe? The God that says you are healed, or the symptom that says you are sick? All right. That's good thoughts. So then we moved into looking at the posture of faith. And we said that faith, number one, agrees with God's word, not what present reality. You agree with God's word, not what you see. You know, there are some people, I really pity them, because God is saying something and they just cannot see what he's saying. So he says something in his word, they also believe something else. God says he will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But then you wake up and then there's a worry, there's an anxiety of how those needs are going to be met. And you find a lot of people struggling over things that God will do for them if they believe they had received when he spoke it. So faith, number one, when you see somebody who walks in faith, the person agrees with God's word, not the present reality. We took Abraham as our case study. We saw how that Abraham did not argue with God. And it's easy to say, God, I know you are God, but this is quite an impossible situation to believe, that I'm going to have a son and that son is going to be a nation. In fact, he calls it nations. So he says, how is this going to happen? My wife's womb is dead. My sperm count probably must have reduced by now, because as you grow, it reduces. You know, one spoon like this can be 1 to 4 million sperms. They are swimming, 4 million of them. Yeah. And that 4 million, you were the one that won the race. See, you are already a winner. You won from the beginning. So when you see somebody say, you know, I've really struggled in life. Life has become so difficult. I just believe I should lose it. You already won. 4 million people are running, swimming quickly. Or 7 million. Yeah. You are a champion already. Before you came, you are champion. And that's why anything that seeks to stop you, you say, no, not me. Take your seat. So, I was thinking about it. Right? So, faith agrees with God's word, not the present reality. So anytime you see somebody agreeing with the word of God, the person has that posture of faith. Of faith. How can these things be? He says, don't worry. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost will come upon you. What is the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost, we don't see him. How is it possible? But Mary believed God. So anytime you see a man of faith, let me tell you something. Pay attention. A lot of the times, faith has been taught as though you are the emphasis of what should happen. And I tell you, it's not exactly right to teach that faith is all about you. And that's why I keep saying, you are going to have confidence in God's faithfulness to keep his word. Are you listening? Great. So, when you lay hands on the sick, not because you are that powerful, but because you believe he said it in his word, that he will do what he says he can do. So you find Moses standing before the Red Sea. And God says, stretch out your rod. Moses says, are you kidding me, God? Somebody's gotta be something. It's to God, so we can't end it. He says, stretch it out. Say, Lord, do you mean only stretching? Say, yes, hurry up, they are coming. They're going to get you. Stretch it out. So Moses is like, okay, maybe, let me just stretch. Boom. And then the Red Sea is split open. What a blessing. He tells Abraham the same thing. Abraham, how old are you? God, 100. Just go and do the do. By next 2 weeks, the child is going to come. Abraham says, no, let's be serious. Sarah cannot conceive. Or you think Abraham had a child, Isaac, without having anything to do with Sarah? Only Jesus. Anytime he says, only Jesus. So he still had hope that something would be done by him. Then the miracle happens. Of course. Elijah, standing before the river Jordan, is supposed to hit his cloak against there. And God is responsible for the result of what should happen. Mark 16, he tells you, lay hands on the sick, I will heal them. Speak to the dead, causing them to raise, and I will do the rising. You do the stepping on the serpents, I'll make sure you are preserved from every form of harm. He's saying, you do a small thing, I'll do a great thing. A small belief, I'll do a great belief, a great miracle. So, it's not so much as you being powerful. No. It's as much as how powerful is he who has said he is with you. So, faith agrees with the word of God. How are those fans going to come? He says, don't worry. Lord, what do I do? He says, speak it into existence. Lord, you mean just speaking? He says, yes, speak it. And whichever way it's going to come, I'm going to make it come. So it's not so much as doing a great thing. It's actually as much as doing a small thing so he can do a great thing. So faith
agrees with the word of God. So God is saying to Abraham and saying to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of nations. Abraham says, faithful are you, God, and faithful is your word. I trust you. That's all he's doing. Of course, the word of the Lord had come to him, so he had heard the word of God. And of course, that's why we see that faith will come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So much of God's word comes to Abraham and tells him, this is what I'm going to do with your life. Can you believe it? Do you believe it? You must begin to agree with everything that God has said about you. So faith agrees with the word of God. Number two, faith receives identity before the evidence or proof. Still on Abraham, we saw that Abraham is agreeing to what God says he is by calling himself Abraham. Abraham means father of nations. So if God called him a father of nations and they asked, who are you? What was he going to say? Was he going to say, I'm Abraham? No, I'm Abraham, the father of nations. So when God tells you, do not worry, you're not going to say, you know, Lord, but I have to really worry. I mean, why should I not worry? Is worrying not a natural thing to do? No. So you're going to begin to walk in joy because he has already said you should not worry. So faith receives that identity. It walks in that identity far before there is any evidence or proof. You know, many times people can see themselves and they have a very strong identity of probably lack. Or they have a strong identity of sickness. Like you meet them, you can see that they are sick all over. And every time, yes, I'm sick. Today, stomach. Tomorrow, head. Tomorrow, waist. Tomorrow, that circumstance, going to see the doctor. Faith will say, I'm well. Even if it looks like there could be any sign or symptom of sickness. When you look at your bank accounts, you start to think like, hey, so, I mean, let's be serious. And then so, that's when maybe you are trying to put things together. Somebody say, hey, Chama. I say, Charlie, make you not call me Chama. Charlie, make you not call me Chama. I make sure. Oh, Charlie, how are you? Be my Chama. Charlie. You're trying to put things together. You check your account. I was telling someone sometime, I said, I never look at my account to do anything I want to do. And I think you should learn that. My words are enough. Now, I'm not saying do this. But there are several times I've cleared empty my account. Because I told myself, I want to walk in faith. Now don't do that. Don't do that. But then, it just points that picture to, I can't see what the digits are saying. Whenever I wake up, I look to the God who cares for me and who holds me. Quite an interesting thought. Not for you, consecrations are not the same. But then, it's faith in the faithfulness of God. How are those bills going to be paid? Fees going to be sorted? You say, I believe God. You know, one time, I read a story
dear man of God shared a story. And, you know, his child came to him. He said, mommy, mommy, mommy. I mean, his child came to him. Daddy, daddy, daddy. He said, what is it? He said, I got a partial scholarship. He said, okay, okay. Partial what? Partial what? Partial. What are you going to say? A full scholarship. He said, okay. To do what? He said, oh, to go here and go here. We need to pay, was it $1,000 or $2,000 to complete whatever that was to pay. He just told the guy that, my son, my daughter, let's not take this very seriously. Because as it stands now, I do not have that money to pay. You know what he said? He says the daughter looked straight into his eyes and said, Daddy, God is going to provide for me to be able to go. So he said, when the child said that to him, he was quite calm. Because now, yeah, I brought you up in the faith, but then you seem to be having a lot of faith than I do. So he said that got him calm and somber. Like he was very calm now because the way the son looked at him and told him that God is going to provide the money. So he said he just forgot about it. And he told the son that, okay, in Jesus' name, amen. God is going to provide. But he was not going to provide. So weeks passed and he was left with a couple of days, 2 or 3 days for the bill to be sorted. So he said he just went to work one day and he met an old friend. No, he had a call from an old friend who said the person was in the country. And so the person wanted to meet him. So, you know, old school friends, you go, you meet the person, you're talking, the person pulls out an envelope, says that, I just thought you would need this. So he was curious. He said, I mean, okay, I've not asked for anything. And that was how he received $2,000. Exactly the amount. Exactly. So he says he got back and told the son that, hey, come. There's something that is happening. He said, you're going to have the scholarship sorted. And the child was not shocked. And he said, are you not shocked that something like this has happened? He said, no. He said, I knew God was going to provide. Now, it's not that the child has just childlike faith. You know, when you go outside, you tell your son, I'm going to buy an aeroplane. Say, yes, mommy, you can buy me aeroplane. But you know that you can buy aeroplane. He asks you, is it real aeroplane or toy aeroplane? You now put yourself in joy. Is it a real one? So that was how the child responded. Said, no. I believe God. I knew it was going to be sorted. He said the child was not even moved. The child was not shocked. Now that's believing in the faithfulness of God. So faith begins to walk in the identity. What has been said about your life? What visions have been shown to you? What does God's word say about you? And that applies to salvation as well. Because if God said you were saved, what's your business calling yourself unsaved? That means you don't believe in His faithfulness to preserve you and to keep you saved. Having begun in the flesh, are you now perfected in the Spirit? Or having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected by the deeds of the flesh? So faith walks in the identity. See, it's not you. You'll be playing with it like this and then you see it happen. You walk in the identity. You see that thing you're trusting God for is done and is established. What identity must you begin to walk in? What are you seeing in that business? That ministry? Do you keep seeing 20 disciples every time? Or you see
many more saved by your hands. Do you see the gospel taking its hold in that space you find yourself in? Faith receives the identity before any evidential proof. Are you living in the identity of what God has spoken for your life? In your health, are you living that identity? Do you have it in your heart? Are you speaking it on your lips? What is the news saying? The news, what are they saying? The doctors. Your experience. What is your experience? Is that, I really have an experience of this. So, you know, I'm very careful when it comes to just faith for all seasons. You know, you have to be careful, you see. Of course, I'm not despising the place of wisdom. What is your family looking like? What did you grow up around? What did you see? That's becoming so real to you that you forget that you are born again full of the Holy Ghost. So faith is going to live in that identity. What are you saying about your future? What are you even saying about your kids? You know what I'm saying? Every time, 0-0-0, what are you saying?
It's good to see you, mommy.
What are you saying? Say,
too much. You know, I met somebody and the person told me that. But with the, just a cup in touch.
You know, you should be able to say that. No, don't talk about my child that way. This child is bright, but he's 39th out of 40. That is faith. That is faith. You keep telling the child, you're bright. The child doesn't believe it. Are you sure? So yes, Danny, you're very bright. You are the brightest I've ever seen. And you keep speaking over them. They be stubborn. Oh. Then they become stubborn pro max. Because that's what you spoke over them. Your words are changing in Jesus' name. So that child is bright. That child is bright. My child is bright. Even when he's, dead, you tell him you are brighter. You're even much brighter. You're doing so well. What do you say about yourself? You know, I met somebody who told me, she said she had a fear. And I said, what's the fear? She said, I have a fear of childbearing. I said, how old are you? She said, 19 or so. I said, 19 years. You're already afraid to bear a child. But 19 years, you're not even supposed to be thinking about child. You're supposed to be in school, reading your books,
childbirth, where is it coming from? She has a fear that she's going to miscarry. Who did that to you? Now, if you were thinking on this at 19, the possibility that it will become 3, it will become real when you get married and you're going to have, is very high. It's very high. What is the fear about? When those thoughts come to you, you say, no, I believe in the faithfulness of God. I believe in the faithfulness of God. And oftentimes the devil prepares you. He prepares, you know, individuals to fall into traps that they themselves created by their own thoughts and by their own words. But that's not going to be connected to you. So faith is going to walk in the identity. I know this ministry is going to bless the whole world. I'm very sure about it. Because faithful is he that has called us. And faithful is he that will do it. Do you believe God?
I believe God.
I believe God. It's just a matter of time. We just need to be faithful. Faithful, 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 faithful. Take your seats and speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. There'll be no doubt in your heart for what God has said he will do. So, faith consistently receives the identity before evidences. Number 3, faith consistently walks in obedience even while the promise is invincible. Faith consistently walks in obedience even when the promise is invincible. Abraham, go out to a place I'll show you. Lord, to where? I don't know, just go. If you were the one, you say, Lord, give me GPS. How do I just get up and I'm walking out of the house? He says, go. On top of that, he now comes, I'll make you a father of all nations. I'm old. But Abraham is saying, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. So, anybody who is walking in faith is going to be walking in obedience, even when the promise is invincible. Yes. And we're walking in obedience. So, when you walk with the Lord, the songwriter says, in the light of his word. Oh, what a glory he sheds on your way. Now that's obedience. He tells you, do that, and you find yourself doing. Some of us, the reasons why our faith walk doesn't seem to be productive is because we walk in disobedience. We disobey his word. We don't take his word seriously. He shows you a vision of something great that he will make you, and you say, oh, it's not really, it can't be me. Me that I was born in this village, it can't be me. Or, looking at my present state, I am not the one God should be considering. Every man of faith is a man of obedience. What has God asked you to do that you keep disobeying? What are the instructions he's giving you that you keep disobeying? How are you going to become that great prophet if you do not do the things he wants you to do, basically obeying him in simple things? How's your work of the ministry going to grow if you cannot obey God in the simple things he's told you to do? Sometimes as simple as evangelism. Sometimes as simple as, what do you call it? Discipleship. Sometimes it's as simple. You know, it keeps coming to your mind. Do that. Do that. But you don't do it. But the man who is walking in faith is going to walk in absolute obedience. What is he asking you to give that you are still clinging on to? How many of have had those, that experience? God told you, give something to somebody, buy something for somebody, give something to the church, do something for the church. The money is with you, but you say, Lord God Almighty, I can't really do this thing. Simple obedience. I'm telling you, there's a power that comes with obeying what God has told you to do. Obeying what God has told you to do. That's why Abraham becomes that forerunner, that example of faith. Now, he gives him Isaac. Oh boy, this one blows my mind. Then he now tells him, go and sacrifice him again. I mean, Lord, let's be serious. You made me wait. How many years, Lord? Did you make me wait? He has grown up. I've fed him. He now is becoming that promised child. Then you now say, go up to a mountain. I'll show you. Go. Just go. You say, what? But Abraham did not disobey God's instructions. You know, our God is a faithful God. Quite recently, I was stunned by what I experienced. I'm going to be sharing a story. You wouldn't know who it is. So, someone called me and the person said, Pastor, yes. I said, I made a pledge. This story blessed me. It will bless you. So keep it in your heart, right? So that your obedience is not a struggle with God. You don't struggle with God, right? So please say that. And don't also do that. Because I'm not going to give it to you. So the person called me. And the person said, Pastor, I want to just discuss something with you. I said, okay. And she said, Pastor, you know, I pledged some time back. And I have the money with me to pay for the pledge, right? But then I spoke to my parents because they know the money is, it could be useful in a certain area. And my dad said, okay, you have pledged, but don't worry, ask for pledge. You pay 50%, right? So pay 50%. Then, after the 50%, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you pay another time or something. Then she now called me and she was asking me, what do I do? So I said, how much did you pledge to God? She said, she mentioned the price. I said, how much are you giving back to him in response to the pledge? She said, 50%. You know what I told the person? I said, obey God. I said, okay. So call your dad, tell him that I'm going to obey God. So, the person, I said, when you give the money, call me. So the person gave the money, and then the person called me. All this while I had not heard from God. So I said, have you done what God said you should do? Then the person said, yes. Then I took a phone. Then I called the person she sends the money to. Then I said, give her back 50% of the money. Now, what that means is that the person had fulfilled the pledge, but then she still has the 50% of what she thought she couldn't cater for. I don't know if you understand the story. Then,
I hung up the call and I heard God very clearly. He says, look at you. I said, look at me. What have I done? He said, look at you. I said, look at me. What have I done? He said, look at how faithful you can be to someone you say you truly love. Because she was my church member. She's my church member, right? He says, look at how faithful you are to her, to helping her do what God had called her to do. Then he now says, don't you believe I am even more faithful than you? And that blew my mind. Because I have great love for this person as trying to help. Then he now tells me his faithfulness is better than mine. Then he now says, that's why you should trust me. He was not using that person's, he was using that person's story to tell me that I love you. Even you who is a natural man knows how to give good gifts to your children. How much more me, God? Would you ask me for serpent and I give you, for bread and I give you stone? Would you ask me for fish and I give you serpent? Then he now said, I am a good God. So even me who was natural, I found out ways to make sure she was sorted. How much more God? What is God telling you to obey him at that you keep dragging your feet? I'm telling you, it's against your progress. And it may not be in money. Sometimes it's just in serving God faithfully. Just serving him faithfully. Sometimes you're sticking to that prayer time he told you. Some of you have, impressions on your heart. Start praying at 12, or start praying at 10, or start praying at 11, or pray 1 hour every day. If he was faithful to me, or I was faithful to her, our God is even more faithful. He's not going to watch you go waste, be destroyed, go down the drain, because you obeyed him. So, as you walk in that spirit of faith, there's going to be that obedience. Some of you must have consecrated times, and nothing should be able to change that consecration you have to him. As little as cleaning the church, coming early to help in the organizations. That's obedience. To somebody, that act becomes, normal. But to you, you do it in obedience to the one who is faithful to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, cleaning, prayer, choir. You say, hey, we sing in this choir, 10 cities. They should even give us 20 cities for Wache. If it's Wache you want to eat, tell us. We'll just prepare Wache. This year, we'll be making Wache after service. We'll just get two ladies to put firewood here and charcoal. Our God is faithful. Are you listening? Don't be afraid to trust him when he gives you instructions. Don't be afraid to live by those instructions that he gives you. Don't be afraid to abandon your life in his care, wholly serving him and dedicated to his will for you. Don't be afraid to do that. See, some of you are thinking of wife, husband. Is he a wife or husband he can't give you? What is your problem? In fact, God saw a need for Eve while Adam was doing what he had to do. You just go ahead and do what you have to do. He supplies those needs too. Somebody says, how about my DSTV bills, my multi-TV bills? He does that too. He supplies that too. So you're going to be walking in obedience. Are you going to be walking in obedience? Obedience. You have something come up at you. It comes to you again. It comes up at you again. It comes up at you. Obey. 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 Don't hold back. You come to church late, it comes up at you that, ah, so who cleans the place? You come again, ah, who cleans the place? That's God telling you, you need to respond to what I'm telling you to do. Some of you has told you, join the choir. You don't want to join. You are sitting there with your nice voice. You are dragging your feet to obeying God. Sometimes it's your assets. You know, if you, maybe you have a bus or something, you can give it to us to bus people. You see? Yes. Your whatever, laptops, phones for service, anything, just doing something that he has told you to do. There's a power that comes from it. A simple obedience. Me, I don't struggle with God. He said, give this, I do this. I don't want to go. I don't want to struggle with him. I don't want to struggle with him because I'm a man of faith. Did you see Abraham say, yay, Lord, Lord, please reveal your mind, change your mind. But he was not even going to kill Isaac, you see. He was not going to kill him. So look around. What is God putting on you to walk in faith towards? Begin to walk in faith. Are you listening? So faith is going to walk in obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Some of you will have to pay transportations for other people to be in church. And that's going to be your obedience. Your sort of special consecrative obedience to God. Yeah. Some of you will have to promise God one bus on Sunday. It could be your obedience to him. That every Sunday you are going to be responsible for bringing people to church. You alone, one pass. And you start working in putting faith towards what he has spoken to you about. So your obedience is don't fornicate again. That's your obedience. Don't fornicate again. Say, Lord, I obey. You said I shouldn't. I'm obeying you. There's a lot of quietness in the room. So we're looking at the posture of faith. Faith refuses to be weakened by delay. Faith refuses to be weakened by delay. What has God said that it looks like it's delaying? It's not coming to pass. Is delaying. Is not coming to pass. He spoke a word to you, and it's been 10 years, 20 years, the word seems like it's not come to pass. What is it like that looks like there's a delay? Now, many times, like I said, there's quite a caution with teaching faith. Because a lot of times we've taught faith to always be, it should happen now. If it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen ever again. But that's wrong. Abraham is never taught faith in that. We don't see faith in Abraham like that. We see faith in patience, or we see patience in faith. So the attitude of faith is going to be an attitude of one who is patient towards the promises of God. You're patient towards his promises. You're patient speaking even when it looks like it's not going to happen. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Who against hope, he believed in hope. Against hope means there are contrary situations to the word that has been spoken. There's a delay on the word. It looks like the nations will not come to pass. But he who walks with God will be patient. Tell your neighbor, say, be patient. Say, God's word will come to pass. So real faith is going to remain constant amidst every situation. Real faith is going to remain constant. 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 Lord, you spoke about the promise, but it's looking like it's not come to pass. You say, I believe God. And I believe his word is true. Faith gives glory to God before fulfillment. That's the next point. We see that in Romans chapter 4 verse 20. How that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he said, Lord, I've not seen it, but I thank you. I have not seen it, but I thank you. I believe it's happening. You've spoken these words to me. You said I'm going to do well. You said this course is going to turn out well. I give you glory. And I thank you for what has not happened yet. Does not mama. And Lord, you said, Lord, you even say, you know, some people even say, Lord, if that's the case, Lord, I'm not going to serve you again. Ooh. Because what you're expecting seems to be delaying. Or what you're expecting, you know, seems not to have happened the way you expected it to happen. Faith is constant, constant, patient, constant. 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 You woke up and you spoke over that pain. It's been 3 hours. It looks like it's still there. It's constant. It's constant. You're living in the reality of what he says concerning your life. Faith is constant in the delay. And that is the nature of God. I think because he's God, he takes his time to prepare and then he shows up in grand style. So he's spoken to Joseph. Joseph, the moon and the stars, they're going to bow before you. Joseph is saying that. Wow, Lord, this is a great miracle. But it takes 17 years of his life to see that manifestation. Goes into Potiphar's house, sacked again to prison. Stays in prison. Then finally comes out. And he's finally the prime minister God has spoken about. So Lord, even though it's taken a while, I still believe that those sons I saw 17 years ago is going to be a reality. David stood before the prophet Samuel, anointed to be king of Israel, and it's taken him over a decade before he finally sits on that throne. Of course, Jesus is that example. He could have done it in 2 years. He could have saved the world in 2 years. Like he kept, yeah, then the world is saved, then he goes back. But he waits for 30 years to have that happen. Faith will be patient. So Joseph, you think because you saw the sun, the moon and the stars bowing, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen in 2 days' time. And 10 years, it has not happened. You say, I believe God. Listen, these things I teach you, they are real challenges of life. And you must begin to grow in them. Are you listening? I spoke to somebody who was telling me a story about a woman who had been in church, serving church, in church, serving church, in church, in one of the greatest prayer movements in the country currently. She was close to the man. For several years, she could not give birth. What are you going to do? As a man of God, would you say that you are not going to pray for any other barren woman? Because the one who is close to you is not able to conceive. Sometimes faith is just seen in patience. It's just seen in patience. As a man of God, do you say that? Because I laid hands on someone, the person was not healed. I'm never going to lay hands on you. This God, you play me while I'll never... God has played you while you. It's a chess player. He plays you while you. So I'll never do this laying hands of things. It's not for me. No. You get up again and you say, I believe God. You get into that situation where maybe something happens. You have to go for a surgery. You come out of it. You say, I believe God. So faith is constant. With time, as the time changes, as the time passes, it's constant. Despite whatever that looks like, it's a delay. We're looking at the posture of faith. Gives glory to God in the midst of situations that are sad and bad. Faith does this. God has called you into the ministry. Are you going to say, you know, I'm not really, this thing is not really mine, you know? I can't really preach. Your mouth, what did he give it to you for? For eating only. So, we are together as a church going to ensure that we walk in this reality against hope, but you believe God. Against situations that are contrary, but you believe God. And faith, remember, using the fig tree example and the temple, you always see faith arise to put things in order. Some of you, your faith, your expression of your faith in being in agreement with God is to say, you know, I'm not going to choose the pleasures of this world. That's also faith. I'm going to choose the pleasures of this world. Say, I believe God. Say, I want to. You meet somebody who is older than you, the person has a pot belly. So, ho, 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 ho. Yeah, my daughter, come. I really like you, you know. And, I just saw you walking around. Now he's in a V something, V what? V8 or something, black one, right? Ho, ho, ho. With a belly, like, it bounces like. You know, I've just seen you around and, I really like you, you know, and, where do you stay? My young, you can't call you daughter because if he calls you daughter, it's not going to help. My young girl, young lady.
Or just hop into the car, you know, let me just sort you out. Then you now jump inside. You know, a dear sister told me some time back that somebody, I said, why did you enter? You don't enter. You don't enter some of these things. And you now jump inside. Then when you now jump inside, like when you open the door, the aircon hits you from a distance. Then you now say, hey, my life has changed, bro. My life has changed. Hey. They're laughing, but they know what I'm talking about. They know what I'm talking about. They know what I'm talking about. They know, pa. Pretending like they don't know. Huh? Huh? Say, hop into the car. Say, the aircon hits you from behind and you get into the car. Say, you know, yeah, drive us towards Kempinski. Drive us towards Kempinski. Say, where did you say you are taking me to? Oh, we are just going to have a drink, you know. You go there, you sit down. Hey, my church member, pal. My church member is being kimpiskied. That's how me too. I'll be passing there to check one or two. How did you get here? So, oh, pastor, you know, pastor, please, pastor, huh? pastor, it was a mistake, sorry, pastor, he just met me and he said he should drive me. There's no, I mean. And then, okay, let's leave there. You see me out. You don't see me. Back to the story. Rewind. So you don't see me. You are there. Then, you know, you now, 100. You say, what are you doing? So, oh, this is just a few $600. You don't take your phone. You say, Jesus Christ of Christ Family Interdenominational. You see, 600 times 12.5, 7,500. You see, oh no, I think I should just add some 200 more. It's gonna sort you out. And it gives you $800, just like that, without any struggle. They are around. You know them, right? Lift up your hand if you know. Lift up your hand. You see? I says, you know, right now, you know, we're at Kempinski. Can you prepare room number 7299 for me? So, you know, say, hey, please, sir, where are we going? Sir? I thought you collected $800. This will allow you. This will allow you. After you've collected $800, this will allow you. Hey, let's be serious. Who gives $800 freely today? For free. And you say it's the gift of God. It's just the grace of God. We should just listen to you. Hey. Who are you? Who called you? What anointing do you have? So you can just, and you now come and say, oh, pastor, I didn't know you knew. My sister, let's not. You know what? As a pastor, when they come to me, I should slap you. You knew what you were doing. But you know what faith is going to do? You see, yes, the bum. You don't have kobo, 10 cities, but you will not enter the car. You will not enter that car, that V8. Unless you marry me and put a ring on my finger like this.
I will not enter. Thank you so much for your gift. Yeah. That's faith. Some of you, that's your faith. You're going to walk and you have to walk. That's like the faith we are talking about. That's your only faith you have to walk in. Your life is that simple. You don't need a lot of things. Just to say no, to say, and you don't have money, but you say, I'm fine. I'm fine. You have not eaten, but you're fine. Yeah. 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 Then a brother here who is good calls you and says, oh, sister, there's some gobe. And then say, Charlie, let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Go back. When you know, these brothers, when they arrive there, the commercial landlord said, go back. Yeah, because he's not looking for anything, you see. He helps you pay your gobe, you pay, you eat the gobe nicely. Huh?
You add water. You add, and you are fine. I'm telling you that any girl that is here and doesn't like it, doesn't want you to take her to Amelia and all of those things, don't marry her. Yes. She doesn't have faith. She can't see where you are going. Doesn't have faith. Say, sister, do you have faith? Because where we are going is a land of full faith. Sister, do you have, don't marry somebody who cannot, does not have faith. Huh? This is complaining every time. Tomorrow, what are we eating? Hey, let's be serious. God will provide. But you to go and work. Are you listening? Huh? So we. Your faith in God is going to be seen in these things. In these things. For you to say, no, I will not agree to your terms, your conditions. I will not sleep with you. I will not drink that alcohol. I will not have that thing to do with you. I'm going to choose God to suffer the afflictions of the world than to choose the pleasures that the world gives. That's going to be your faith in God. Take your seats. I did that quite intentionally because we... So, you're going to be walking in that faith. Just give me a few minutes. I'm going to rush you through something very important. So faith is going to believe in God. Believe in His plan. You know, it takes faith to preserve a marriage. Yeah, it does take faith to preserve a marriage. It does take faith. Because sometimes it's easier to say, hey, you know, let's be serious. Let's part ways. Huh? Let's part ways. I've told you, lay the bed like this, this dimension, you don't... Oh, only that one. You are parting ways. It takes faith to say, I see God in that marriage. Sometimes faith suffers affliction. It suffers affliction. Some of you are going to be great than you thought. All of you in Jesus' name are going to be great in that respective field you find yourself. But it's going to take a certain suffering. It's going to take some time. See, it's going to take some time. I told you that when I came to Accra, I didn't have a place to stay. Yes, when I came the first time, I was staying in a place where it was not even painted. It was just a normal place. There were cement bags there. That was where I slept there several months. I was working as a pharmacist while I was inside there because the Lord had told me to move. Yes. And it never occurred to me. It was after I left that place, I said, oh, that was where I used to stay. I was there. I was right there. Take your seat. I was there. He's sitting there. I'll come and I'll preach to you. And I'll go back. The cements with head pans and everything in my room. With bed. It never occurred to me. It never occurred to me. It's after I left there. I said, oh, okay. That was where I was staying. Yeah. Because I told myself, I was going to walk with God. I could have spoken to other people. I mean, no doubt. But I wanted to put myself in a position where I'll be responsible for me. I could have spoken to anybody. I could have spoken to someone to pay the rent for me, but I didn't. I was teaching myself to believe God, to trust God, to hold on to God's word. So your small suffering, it's only preparing you and giving you the wisdom that you need for the many years ahead. It's not a problem. You going to school and patching with somebody is not a problem. I'm telling you, you're going to be far greater than that. You going to school and having to find ways to raise money is not a problem. Picking a truck shop is not a problem. You don't have to buy something that when we see you, you are now losing weight. We ask you, say, the car is killing my life. You're going to be great. And you are great. So don't look at the present challenges. Don't get me mistaken. My parents could pay for it. I could have spoken to my dad, he would have helped me. Because my dad severally wanted to come and see where I was staying. I've gone to somewhere. He said, I'm coming there, I'm coming to see where you stay. I'm coming right now. But I said, Lord, yes, I have my parents. Yes, but I'm going to trust you through it all. Now, your parents' helps are also God's means of providing for you. Again, that's quite cautious. You need to pay attention. So, Colette. But I'm telling you that you're not going to be so much worried about what is not there or what is there. Because you know why? You're not living in the present reality of the things that are happening around you. All you see is a great future that is ahead of you. That's all you see. A great future ahead of you. A great ministry ahead of you. A great life ahead of you. As we have these conversations, you're going to be toughing for every life situation that comes your way. Because life situations, they happen to all. Let's look at something quickly. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Are you in church? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Now this is Jesus making an important statement. We're actually now getting into today's teaching. So we're going to just wrap it through, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to him or to whom he is like. Pay attention. I told you that life situations, they happen to all. Are you listening? Life situations, they happen to all. When you go and say, they had to lay off people from this kind of job. And it happens that you are laid off. Don't say that, God, why have you forsaken me? Look at me. I've done this for you. No. That's when you're going to use your faith. Are you listening? And when you go and they say, they have promoted you at your workplace and this thing has been spoken about you, you're going to still give glory to God. So faith is giving glory to God irrespective of the situations that happen around, right? Great. And I'm telling you that life situations, they happen to all. Luke chapter 6 verse 46. We're reading that again. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Then he now says, he is a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon what? A rock. So this was a man that builds deep in the house, right? He laid the foundation on the rock, but there is a wind that beats vehemently upon that house. It cannot be shaken because the house was built on what? A rock. Now look at verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man. So these are two different types of men. One that hears and that does, that builds his house on a rock. Another who, verse 49 says, he's like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stone did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. Are you listening? Did the stone beat vehemently on the one who heard and did? Did it beat vehemently on the one who heard and did not do? So can we say storms come irrespective of your life and what you have and who you are? Listen, both of them, there is a storm that is beating vehemently. It's beating strongly. Whether you build your house on a rock or not, there is a storm. There's a storm. So, your walk with God will have storms. Your walk with God will have challenges. You know, yesterday I was speaking to someone. She was expressing a lot of concern. I want to ask you a question. I said, ask. She said, my professor likes me. I said, okay. Somebody else likes me. I said, okay. So what do I do? I asked, first question I asked, how old are you? She said, I'm 22 years. I said, okay. Be prepared for more likes, okay? Just so that helps her. Because she was shocked that her whole professor likes her. That's a storm. A vehement storm is it's beating. Project supervisor. A vehement storm. Do you go to church every now and then? Yes, she does. But there's a storm. So, storms are for everyone. Are you listening? Storms are for everyone. You can experience a storm in your office. It does not necessarily mean there's something wrong with you. Storms are for everybody. You could lose people that you love so much. That's not mean there's something wrong with you. You could have a sickness at a point in time that you would need to use your faith for. It does not make you inferior. Are you listening? You could have your boss suddenly rise up against you at your work and is, you know, perpetuating things that you have not done. It's a storm. You prayed for something. Maybe it didn't happen. A storm. So storms are going to be blowing. Everybody will have a storm. But you're going to be prepared for the challenges. Because you know the storms will come. And when the storm comes, just like the fig tree, you're going to know to put your faith. Are you listening to work? When you see distortions in whatever it is that is happening, what are you going to do? Put your faith to work. You see a distorted temple. That's when faith should begin to rise so high. So you can enter into that temple and make sure there's order in that space. Now, let's look at some types of storms. It's going to bless you. Now, this is Jonah. Chapter 1. Jonah. Jonah. Chapter 1. Jonah. Chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 3. Somewhere around verses 7. Now these are types of storms, right? Remember, we are saying that Luke chapter 6 is saying that the storm beats vehemently, right? It beats vehemently. On the one that hears and does, and on the one that does not hear, or hears and does not do. Then we said storms beat on all. Life's challenges happen to all. Situations happen whenever you least expected them. So, this is Jonah. We're looking at types of storms, right? Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 first. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto what? Tarshish. So, God is saying, go towards Nineveh, right? Then Jonah got up and he's going towards where? Tarshish. We're going to see a storm arise because of Jonah's disobedience. So number one, first storm, disobedience. So storms are going to come because you disobey. Because you disobey. Because you disobey. Because you disobey. So there's a storm, a vehement storm. Now look at this. The people are almost getting sunk because there's a wild storm. Because of Jonah's disobedience. Second storm. Mark chapter 4 verse 35. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 verse 35. In Mark chapter 4 verse 35, this is Jesus actually sailing on the ship. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto what? The other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now what? Full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and he said unto them, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said, Do we see that? He's saying, right? Do we see another thing that is not his will, that he has to say? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said. So he's saying, right? So what did he say? He says, Peace, be still. Now look at Jesus' language. He's not saying, Hey, what is happening? Yay, we are almost drowning. Yay, my life is almost destroyed. Yay, the sickness is not getting any better. Or the disease is not helping at all. Yay, my Lord God Almighty, see what is happening to me. No. He speaks out and he says, Peace, be still. Now, second storm. Was Jesus in the plan of God? Yes. He was in the plan of God. Right? Did he disobey God? No. Was he in the will of God? Yes. But there is a what? A storm that arises because of where he's going. And so there's everybody's afraid. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love Jesus. He's a man of composure. He just wakes up and says, Oh, okay. Peace. Be still. And that's how he rebukes the storm. So storms can come when you are disobeying God. Sometimes you're just in clear obedience, disobedience. And then, because you are in disobedience, pay attention, he's not the one that necessarily will send storms, but it's because you are out of where you can be hurt by those storms, or you can have those storms. That's within the context of disobedience, right? But just struggling because you are out of where you're supposed to be. And that becomes a storm. Then, if you're not disobeying him while you're walking in the will of God, a storm starts to blow again. Now let's look at a third storm, Acts chapter 27, which is like my favorite storm. This is actually really strong. So, when you're walking in disobedience, there can be storms, right? When you are in the will of God, there can be storms. Those storms will represent everything that is not God's will for your life. You studied so hard. Now, you know, sometimes we push the faith message so much that we are not able to help people to walk in faith when they find themselves in a certain kind of crisis. For example, someone clearly studied and they went for an exam and they didn't pass. But the attitude of faith, he's going to say, I believe you, Lord. Even though he's not looking like it. I'm going to give it to it diligently. And I see myself a winner, irrespective of what the lecturer says about me on that script. I believe God. Is a storm. What do you do? Do you say, you know, we serve God again. Faith is constant in delay. It's constant even when situations are showing a negative sign. You say, Lord, I believe you. You're in the will of God, but then there's a storm. Don't say, hey, look, I'm in the will of God, but see, the storms are blowing. Jesus had storms. Please, you will have storms. But faith is going to speak amidst those storms. Faith is going to be composed. And you say, that thing is turning around for my good. Storms. Acts 27. And when it was, verse 1, and when it was determined that he should stall into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship, Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, Macedonia of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Okay, so let's move to verse 9. And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only with land, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So Paul is in a ship with a group of people. He tells them, I perceive there's going to be danger. And this danger is going to be so dreadful that it could take our lives and the entire ship. But there's also someone on the ship that's saying, no, it's not going to happen. Wow. Verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. This is Paul in a ship, telling people that the ship is going to sink. Other people say it's not going to sink. So thirdly, storms can come because of the people you have in your ship. Because of the people you have in your ship. The people you keep around you. The doubt they fill your environment with is what will intentionally warrant the storm. That's why I told the people who are around me, as ministry leaders, there should be nothing like it's impossible in our midst. Nothing like that. When you have a friend that's always talking down on you, talking down on what you want to do, the person is calling storms. There's going to be a ship that you are in with other people. You tell them, this voyage, I perceive. There's going to be trouble. Say, so, no, there's not going to be trouble. What do you mean by trouble? There's not going to be trouble. So thirdly, storms will arise because of the people you have around you. That's why you should have a spouse that speaks and agrees with what you say. Because the moment you're on different paths, person is going to be calling nonsense storms. Like storms that are not supposed to come, then you are calling them. There's going to be nonsense storms. And that's why the Bible teaches us to not be yoked with people who are unbelievers. Because you're going to bring forth some storms. Storms you shouldn't fight, then the storms are blowing. Doubt. So storms can come, number one, because you're in the will of God. They can also come because you're disobedient. And they can also come because of the people around you. But irrespective of whatever happens, you are going to say to the wind or to the storm, be thou rebuked. Be thou rebuked. Peace. Be still. Now that brings me back into what I want to say strongly before you go. Irrespective of these storms, God gives you the authority to speak over those storms. God gives you the power to speak over those storms. When you're in the will of God, and you see a storm, it's time to speak. You're outside the will of God, you see a storm, it is time to speak. But don't forget what I'm about to say. Faith will be stronger where you know what the will of God is. Are you listening? So when you have a storm, don't try to find out, am I disobedient? If you are disobedient, just walk into obedience. Are you listening? There's a storm. You say, in the name of Jesus. Peace. Be still. Walking in the plan of God. You have a storm. Storm of your health. A storm of your kids. A storm of your life. A storm of your academics. A storm. Whatever storm it will come. You say, in the name of Jesus. You're walking in disobedience. Just walk in obedience. Walking in the plan of God. You speak. Walking as a result of The storms that, you know, the people are causing because of their lack of faith, because of their words, because of their belief. You're still going to speak. Are you listening? One of the things we see in this ship is that Paul and all who were with him were preserved at the latter. Last thing I want to say is that storms will not last. Storms will not last. Storms will not last. They come in with a raging sound. One of the things I can tell you is that those storms will not last. Are you listening? So in the midst of storms, you're going to be full of faith. Full of faith. I see you rebuking the storms. I see you rebuking the wind. You say, in the name of Jesus. When storms come, there are temptations to choose other things. You say, Lord, I will stand with you. Finances. Sometimes they're just storms of worry and anxiety. Things that plague your heart. You're worried about how it's going to turn out, how things are going to turn out. You say, I refuse to be worryful. I refuse to be full of worry. The joy of the Lord is the strength of my life. When you receive that report, you say, in the name of Jesus, I walk in this healing for my life. There are things that you will have to suffer, not because you're not in faith, but because you are actually in faith. Seeing that we're encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every sin and weight which doth easily besets us. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So you're going to be looking to Jesus, who is the author, the finisher. He starts and he ends this faith conversation we have. When you see things that are pleasurous to the flesh, but it's against the will of God, you say no, because I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of faith. They tell you, sleep with me, pay this, do, go here, do this dubious act, do, so that it will, you say no. I believe God. 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 So, how is your life going to be like? You say, I don't know what is ahead of me, but I know God has gone ahead of me. Listen to me, you're not alone. God is walking with you, and He will help you in every single situation that life presents to you. You're going to find yourself conquering every situation one after the other. But like I told you, you must keep a posture of faith. You must keep a posture of faith. You must keep a posture of faith. Faith will not be weary. Faith will not be tired. Faith does not say, I'm tired of all of these. No. You say, I can endure. Faith is long-suffering. It's patient. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So as you step out, you're going to believe that storms can arise. Whether you're outside the will of God, whether you're in disobedience, you're with people who are around you. But there's going to be just something about your life that stops the storms, that rebukes the winds. I see you overcoming every challenge. Every challenge. Like David stands up and he looks at Goliath. He says to him, interestingly, he says, you uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you speak against the God of Israel? That's faith. You're going to stand against anything that mimics God's will in your life. And you're going to keep that posture of faith. Listen to me. You're going to abandon yourself in the hand of God, believing in His faithfulness for your life. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Listen to me, you will need this. Maybe not now. But as life happens, you will need this. You need to stand and take that posture of faith. Pray in the Spirit.